Hi, you are listening to the message from Faith Bible Church's Sunday morning worship service. Thanks for joining us.
So today we're going to continue our journey through the book of 1 Kings. And as we kind of maybe look at the first the title sheet here, and kind of go back one, Daniel, if you can. There we go. The God who still reigns. And so this whole idea about that amidst changing situations, that God has a plan for us, that God is working through different circumstances. He's working through, delivering his word to us, as we'll look into today. And this whole idea that even in our humanness, and sometimes we act foolishly, as Jeroboam did, and we're talking about him a little bit, and the prophets that we're going to talk about today, that even amidst all these really silly, dumb decisions, that God is still going to be glorified, that God reigns. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to look at kind of an interesting story that, you know, Pastor Mike's been doing a great job kind of helping us through this idea or the story of Jeroboam and his kind of side parallel kingdom that didn't follow God very well and all that kind of stuff. And there's another story, kind of a tangential story in here that continues to reinforce this idea that we need to know and follow what God asks us to do. That's just a really important thing. Now, we talk about God's word and all this stuff. Back then, of course, it was done through the prophets. There was scripture as well, but in certain circumstances, and we need to also follow the people that God had dictated or had kind of directed to talk to us. And as we think about this idea today, kind of the subtext, and we can go next to the next title, it's kind of to listen to God and do what he asks us to do. Seems pretty simple, right? And yet, as we look at our story today, and it's a really long one, so we're going to jump into it pretty soon. As we look at it today, there are certain things that kind of prevent us from following what God wants us to do. I mean, I think that that's really kind of the human condition. As we wrestle and we work with God on these different things, God asks us to do something, and hopefully we will follow, but sometimes we don't. And sometimes even the giver of this word or this prophecy or whatever we'll call it can get really waylaid. And so that is the challenge that we have, to really continue to draw closer to God and to work through all those different challenges. I'm going to ask you to do something a little different today. You know, usually, and I'm like you, but you might, if you have a Bible on your phone or, you know, in the pew, you might want to open it up because this is a super long passage. And you're going to get tired of me talking, but I'm afraid it's a pretty long passage. And this is 1 Kings 13, 1 to 34. 34 verses. I chipped out a little bit of it that wasn't as important, but we'll follow along here. Okay. A little sidebar before I start. This has been a very challenging passage for me for a lot of different reasons, and a lot of it is circumstantial for me. So over the last couple of weeks, my primary computer broke down, and then my laptop broke down, and then so I'm working on this like really old computer right now. And this morning, I was, whenever I preach, my general pattern is I get up and I work on the sermon through the week. And then I also have a responsibility and a pleasure and a blessing to teach a Sunday school class. And that's been great. And so this week, I'm looking at this passage, I'm saying, this passage is really tough. This is really hard. And I'm not feeling it. And so I want to give a shout out to my brother Chuck, who said, I'll take Sunday school for you. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that was so wonderful, because it really alleviated a little, you know, a little extra pressure. So anyway, I wake up this morning, and I'm going through there. I'm thinking, I'm going to preach God's word. I'm going to do it, even though it's really challenging. But as the passage will show, I experienced some kind of complications today. As I was getting ready, so I got up, and I'm thinking, well, I usually try to make a little snack for my students, and then I also want to give some to our brand new, and again, shout out to the teachers of our new middle school Sunday school class. And so anyway, I'm getting all that done, you know, getting all ready. I'm kind of rushing everything. So I get to church, and what happens is I run into Daniel, our tech guy. I'm thinking, I forgot to send the file with this, you know, with our sermon notes. I literally forgot. I said, oh, because I usually email it to him in the morning. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. And, of course, all the expletives and everything are, you know, floating through my head. And I'm thinking, oh, you know. And so then I'm calling up my wife, who, again, another this week, she's sick. And so, you know, she's like, you know, dying, whatever. And so I've been trying to stay away from her, which is not very husbandly, but you're sick, you know. So we, you know, we live, our house fortunately has different levels. So really, I don't see her because I pushed her, you know, to the bottom and said, you're staying there. Pumpkin the dog and I will be in this other area, right? So anyway, I'm trying to call her up. You know, she's homesick, so again and again, thank you for, I think it's Dawn, who's taking her spot to teach her Sunday school class right now. So you can see that my family's kind of unbalanced here, right? And my focus is a little off and all those different things. So I'm calling her up. You got to email the PowerPoint to Daniel, you know, I'm calling, and, you know, I'm thinking, oh, what am I going to do? And I'm not getting hold of her, right? So I'm calling. And, you know, she's sick, so she's probably sleeping or something, right? So then I'm thinking, I wanted to just kind of enjoy the class with Chuck's teaching, but I said, I got to go back. I got to go back home and send it so that we can have this thing, right? So anyway, I'm running back, and I'm probably speeding, you know, all those different things. And it's raining and all those different things. And so I'm calling Lynn on the phone, pick up, you know, whatever. So anyway, to make a long story short, I was about like 2 minutes away from home, and she finally calls me. He goes, I'm sorry, you know, I wasn't sleeping and whatever. And I'm thinking, you know, I could get really mad. I'm thinking, you know, whatever. But I'm thinking, this is all my fault. I can't get mad at her, right? I mean, this is my fault. I messed up. So anyway, I get her, and she's really sorry because, you know, a lot of you are getting to her. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm thinking, it's okay. You know, so anyway, I go in and, you know, whatever. And then I turn around and come back. So here we are. We have the PowerPoint. Yay. We're here. But, you know, there's a story here as I was praying about it. And, you know, a lot of it is that life and Satan circumstances prevent us from learning God's word, right? And I'm thinking, you know, I was praying through the week, Lord, you know, part of the challenge and, you know, of being a preacher is you want to make things relevant, right? You want to make this text relevant to our world today. So I was praying, God, I need some good examples of how your word can be really blocked. And so I had it. I mean, that's what happened, right? And so I'm thinking, well, God, I didn't expect my prayers to be answered that way, but it did, right? And so we see that we understand that life and the devil and all those things, it does want to prevent us from sharing God's word. But he failed, and circumstances are overcome, and now we are here. So here we go. Let's jump on in. So if you're with me, this is the passage, and it's a long one, but I'm just going to give you a little synopsis that Jeroboam is, as we learned last week, he started a kind of a side kingdom going on, and he's doing bad things like setting up idols in different cities instead of to prevent or to help people not to have to go to Jerusalem to worship the true God. He made a couple idols and threw all these things. And of course, God is not happy with this. God is not happy with this, and so he's going to send somebody, this is the story, he's going to send someone to say, hey, cut it out and all those different things. And so through this whole story, we see kind of how, again, circumstances, human nature, all those different things can really block the transmission and the following of God's word. And we're going to take a look at that. Okay, so here we go. This is the story of First Kings, the story of Jeroboam and two prophets. A man of God came out of Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord while Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. He cried against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, says the Lord, a child named Josiah will be born in the house of David, and he will sacrifice upon you the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and these men's bones shall be burned upon you. And he gave a sign on the same day saying, this is the sign that the Lord has spoken. The altar, right, this false altar, this terrible altar will be torn apart and the ashes that are upon it will be poured out. So basically destruction. When Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God who had cried out against the altar in Bethel, he reached out his hand to the altar saying, arrest him. Arrest him. And the hand that he put forth against him dried up so that he could not pull it back again. And the altar was torn and the ashes poured out from the altar, just as the man of God said it would, as a sign of the Lord. So this prophet that was sent by God saying, you know, you're doing bad, and all the prophecies about the situation was coming through. The king answered and said to the man of God, seek the face of the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand will be healed. And the man of God interceded with the Lord, and the king's hand was healed and became as it was before. The king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourselves, and I will give you a reward. The man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go with you, nor I will eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so I was commanded by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall eat no bread, nor drink water, nor return by the same way that you came. So he went home, he went another way and did not return by the same way he came to Bethel. Now there lived an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words that he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, what way did he go? And from his sons he had seen the way the man of God came from Judah had gone. And he said to his sons, saddle my donkey. So they saddled the donkey for him and rode on it. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under the oak. And he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. And then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And the young prophet said, I may not return with you or go with you, nor will I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I was commanded by the word of the Lord, you shall eat no bread and drink no water there, nor return by the way you came. He said to him, I am a prophet like you. And the angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you into your house so that he may eat bread and drink water. But he had lied to him, so he went back with him to his house and ate bread and drank water. Okay, we're going to skip up to verse 20 here. Then as he sat at the table, the word of the Lord came to the prophet who brought him back, and he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, since you have disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and have not kept the commandment that the Lord your God had commanded you, but instead came back and eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord had told you to eat no bread and drink no water, your carcass, your body, will not be buried in the tombs of your father. So basically, he's like cast out. And after he had buried him, he said to his sons, when I am dead, bury me in the grave in which the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For saying that he cried out by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places that are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. And after this event, King Jeroboam, who we've been talking about, did not turn from his evil ways, but made priests for the high places again from among all the people. Anyone who would be consecrated to be priests of the high places, and this matter became sin to the house of Jeroboam, so as to cut it off and to destroy it from the face of the earth. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. Okay, so here we have a story that's kind of interesting. So Jeroboam is like important, but he's really kind of not the main character here. The main character is a man from Judah sent to tell Jeroboam, cut it out. Turn from your evil way and come back to the Lord, right? And so here we go. Go ahead and go to the next slide, Daniel. The story is basically outlined like this. Number one, Jeroboam was doing bad stuff, right? It's pretty straightforward. He made altars, right? He's installing priests from the regular population when the priests during those days were a specific tribe, right? He's doing all these different things. And the Lord then sent a young prophet from Judah, right, the other country, to come and tell Jeroboam, you're bad. You're not doing a good thing here, okay? And then the Lord directed the young prophet, right, for a purpose and a place that the Lord was told this man, do this, do do this. Very direct. So we don't know about who this young prophet is. There's no name. And, you know, in some ways, there's a lot of mystery to him. But we know that he was asked by God to do something really important. And he was asked by God to travel from Judah, the tribe of Judah, to this place in Bethel, which, you know, required some effort, right? Some required some things to do here. And then the Lord directed the young prophet to what? To prophesy. And to tell Jeroboam, you're not doing what God wants. Tough place to be, isn't it? Tough place for a person to be when you're before the king, this person, and basically you're saying you are sinning against God and you are not in God's favor and all those things. It's, you know, not a comfortable thing. And maybe you have been in that situation too, where you have been called to do something that's uncomfortable. Maybe you have to tell a family member or a friend that you're kind of messed up and you have to turn around. I have a situation that I'll talk about a little later where there's some theological challenges going on, and this one team that I recently joined, you know, this group, it's a school, and basically they had worked really hard on putting together this like statement of faith, you know, what we believe. And, you know, I looked at it, and a friend of mine was working on it before, and, you know, she said, that's not right. And then I kind of came in and said, yeah, it's not right. You know, and so now there's a little friction going on, right? And sometimes we're called to do that. You know, we really need to give it to our elders and Pastor Mike and a lot of our teachers here and all that stuff that, you know, maintaining correct doctrine is so important. It really is, right? We have to make sure that we are aligned with what God wants us to do. And so this prophet was directed to tell Jeroboam, you're messed up. You're not doing the right thing. And then the Lord directed the young prophet to not delay and to fast. So basically, you know, alongside with prophesying, he's supposed to kind of move things along and then fast and not eat or drink. Now, it's interesting when you look at this situation here that isn't it like kind of a good advice to not delay? If you're called to do something, right, sometimes you need to jump in and do it as with God's timing and not our own. Now, my wife, who, again, get better, honey, but, you know, my wife will be said, you know, she's probably staring at me and saying, you know, you need to do what you say here because I'm a procrastinator. Right? I am. I'm a procrastinator. And sometimes I'll put something off, and she's kind of like way on the other thing. It's like, do we have to do it right now? You know, like, can you do something like right now? I said, no. So anyway, that's my family. And so, when we look at God's timing, sometimes we're supposed to like step up and do it, right? And human nature is, if it's an uncomfortable thing, and like if you're like me, you think, I'm not comfortable with this, right? It's tough. And so this is where this understanding that we have to follow God, to understand that our allegiance and our loyalties is with our Heavenly Father, right, and Jesus Christ, and not our own comfort, not our own, like, what's easy to do. And that's not easy. But then I think that throughout the Bible, the consistent thing is that our faith is not easy. Right? Doing the right thing is not easy. Right? And so that is what we have to step up to do. Okay, let's go on to the results of this story here, the response. So King Jeroboam, with all this that's going on, he gets mad. Right? He goes, don't tell me this stuff and everything like that. And so he tried to do stuff to the prophet, seize him, restrain him, all that kind of stuff. And then what happened? Is that the prophet said, and God basically shriveled Jeroboam's hand, right? And the altar that was being spoken against, it was destroyed, right? So God is active in all this stuff. He's not going to, like, hang his young prophet, you know, and to say, oh, you're on your own. He's saying, hey, you know, the power of God is behind you, to do the right thing. And that's something that we need to understand too, is that when we are in the right, when not we, if we are following the right from the Lord, the power of God is with us, right? We are not alone in what doing the right thing. Sometimes it feels like you can be really alone. My friend, who I'm so proud about, she was speaking out about, you know, this kind of this, you know, doctrinal problem with this organization's statement of faith. And she was the lone person that was speaking out and goes, this is not right. Everyone else was kind of like, no, it's good enough. Or we worked hard and blah, 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 it's fine. And so I could tell that she was like a lonely battle. It was a lonely battle for her. And so then I kind of come in, and then another person said, hey, Marty, can you take a look at this? And so I look at it, and it goes, yeah, there's a problem with this statement. There's a problem with it. And so I spoke up, and then I could tell that my friend was so relieved, right? Because it's hard to stand against the tide on your own, isn't it? Sometimes you feel alone during these challenges, and you feel like, oh, it's only me. But as our young prophet experienced, the power of God backed him up, right? The power of God was there to back him up. And so that was kind of a wonderful thing, all right? Then we go back, we see again, Jeroboam's altar was destroyed as was prophesied by this young prophet. And then we see that Jeroboam, whose hand is now shriveled, appeals to the prophet to heal them, right? That's changed, isn't it? Circumstances can change pretty quickly, because just a moment before, the Jeroboam was going to seize him and imprison this prophet, probably even kill him, right? All those different things. And now he's like, help me, right? You know, my hands shriveled, my altar's messed up, help me, right? And so with grace and with mercy, the young prophet and God, through the young prophet, healed the person's hand. Isn't that an interesting story when you think about it? You know, that things can change really quickly. Now, the experience I'm going through with this doctrinal thing, this story is not done yet. We're still kind of going through this back and forth, and I'm praying hard, and, you know, I'm hopefully doing, you know, the wise thing, and then my friend saying, hey, you know, can you take over, you know, this fight, you know, type of thing, because she's worn out. And so, you know, that is the story of a lot of our lives, isn't it? That sometimes we have to stand on our own, you know, of course, God being there, but then we also remember that if we are in God's will, if we are in the right situation, God's not going to forsake us, right? He'll be with there, okay? All right, let's go on to that next slide here. All right, so then we have the next part of the story where the old prophet, right? So we have the young prophet from Judah, and then we have the old prophet who is probably from Bethel, right? The local area. He's, you know, we don't know much about him either, except he's older, so we call him the old prophet. But he's probably saying, hey, man, I haven't had a lot of action lately. What's going on, right? And so the old prophet was interested in what was going on with the young prophet. And so the old prophet wants to get involved in what's going on. And so what goes on here? Number one is that the old prophet was very intentional, and he tracked down the young prophet. Where's the young prophet, right? Where is he? I want to find him. So he sends his son to track him down and all those different things, right? And then in the course of their interaction, when they finally, you know, kind of connected and talking, I find this fascinating, the old prophet tried to tempt the young prophet to disobey God, right? And in the process of doing that, he's lying. He's lying. You know, in our lives, we're going to have people that will disappoint us, right? We're going to have people that we, like maybe back in the day, they were fully in God's will and prophesying well and all that kind of stuff. And then later on, something happens, their human nature takes over, their sin nature takes over or whatever. And that's a challenge, isn't it? And the interesting thing that's going on here is that this old prophet, he was probably a pretty good dude back in the day, but now he's not on the side of the right. He's not really there. And so he is trying to kind of like, well, if I'm not going to be on the side of the right, I'm not going to let you be on the side of the right either. Right? Isn't that kind of human nature? It's kind of like, it's kind of like a jealousy thing, right? It's not, if I can't have it, you can't have it either. And so we think about what's going on in the world, that's kind of what's happening too. Maybe in your families or in your work or in your studies or something like that, you're encountering a place where you have some opposition. And it becomes not just like, don't do this thing, but it becomes kind of spiteful, right? And we are kind of vulnerable to the leading of people that are not aligned with God. You know, as I'm getting older, right? You know, I think back on my life, and I've had wonderful mentors, great men of God that helped me to come to know the Lord, that taught me all those different things. But now, as I'm getting older, I'm thinking, some of these mentors are not quite right anymore, right? They become more liberal, or their doctrine's kind of messed up, and all that kind of stuff. And so it puts a person like me in an awkward situation, and probably this young prophet in an awkward situation, where you have to say, I don't agree with you. Or you should say, I don't agree with you. And, you know, talk it over and all those different things. And, you know, honestly, it kind of breaks your heart to be in that position. Because some of these old mentors of your life, they were probably used by God to do amazing things. But again, we see the kind of the power dynamic here, where the young prophet was more in God's will than the old prophet. So we have to kind of balance that out. Okay? And then the old prophet eventually just lied, not deceived, but lied to the young prophet. All right, so as we kind of look at this whole situation here, we see some interesting things going on. And that as we look at this, you know, we see different opportunities where God's will or God's word can be blocked, can be distracted. And so we, as the people of God, need to take this story and understand kind of the challenge that we have. All right, let's go on to the next slide here. This is where we see how God's word really kind of clarifies our situation here, right? This is where in verse 18, the old prophet is kind of trying to deceive the young prophet in a really wicked way. He said to him, I'm a prophet like you, and an angel spoke to me, which is not true, it's a lie, by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you into your house so that he may eat bread and drink water. But the old prophet had lied to him, and so he went back with him to his house and did eat bread and drink water. So the young prophet was probably facing a couple things. Number one, you want to respect your elders, don't you? Really, you know, that's kind of the issue. So that's going on there. Secondly, there's a trust thing going on where the old prophet says, I'm a prophet just like you. Well, and this is where the critical mind that we have as maturing believers, we need to check on things. You need to check, a certain statement through the word. You need to check through maybe the history of the person that's going on here. And, you know, in our day today where there's tons of fraud going on, this background checking is really important. So, you know, in the situation that I have with my, you know, this doctrinal issue, the first thing I did was I started to look at the Bible again, and I went back to my old seminary notes and books and tried to make sure I understood what was going on. You see, we should always be in a situation of learning. Okay, now all of us are going to be called to seminary. Most of us probably, we call it cemetery sometimes, right? You know, but you know, it's not an easy thing to do, right? But it's so important, right? I think a couple of you out there are studying. I mean, Stephen, Ma, and other people are in seminary, and they're learning a lot. And we need to respect them for that, right? We need to respect that them for that. But we also understand that the Word of God, and thank goodness for our Protestant background, the Word of God is available to everyone. and to learn the skills of how to study and to confirm different things is so important. For those of you that are in the discipleship class, good for you, right? And for those of you that are looking for discipleship class, we're gonna get more stuff available to you, because we should always be in that period of learning. Your Sunday school classes, your BSF. I know that some of you are involved in BSF. These are wonderful resources that help us to get aligned with proper theology and doctrine. Okay, and then we also see here that we need to be able to understand that some people really want to mess with us. Some people want to take us down. Why would this old prophet do this? Right? Well, he's probably not getting any faith action, right? He's an old prophet, maybe past his prime or whatever. And this young prophet's getting all the fun, be in God's will and all that stuff. He's probably a little, maybe a little jealous or something. And so again, that human nature of jealousy is, if I'm going down or I'm not great, I'm going to take you with me. Right? He lied. He lied to the young prophet. And so, for us, may God give us discernment, the power of discernment, and to do the right thing. Okay? All right, let's keep going here. So the new prophet gets involved, right? And then we see here that as we kind of prophet like you. And then so here we see that the old prophet comes to this point of lies and all those different things. That, again, circumstances. I'm sure this young prophet was tired, hungry, thirsty. And so when the old prophet said, come and eat, it's like, well, God's word and command might get a little muted under those circumstances, right? I mean, I think that, I think about my friend she's so great. I'm sure it would have been easier for her to say, I don't want to fight this fight. It's good enough. Right? And maybe that's the challenge that we have as the people of God, is that what is important? To discern what is important and what is, should we let go? All right? And this is an important point here, is that God will not change his commands or his word to fit our circumstances, right? That we need to understand that God's word, his will, his direction, his promises, those are our north point, our compass. That's what guides us, not our circumstances, okay? All right, so now as we kind of wrap this up here, that actually went pretty well. I will say really honestly, I had a couple sleepless nights thinking, this is a tough story. It was a tough story. So, I guess the Lord does kind of helps us when we need it. Thank you for that. All right, so our story today is primarily about the young prophet not obeying God's commands and what? Paying the price. By not following God and breaking his fast and drinking and all those different things, what was the result? Death. Right? And I feel bad about that when you think about it, because the young prophet was fooled, because the young prophet gave in to his circumstances, God killed him for that, right? But I think we also see here how important it is for us to be in alignment with God's will, right? To be understand that life will be tough, but we need to have that security of good Bible study, right? A good understanding of theology, good doctrine, and following God, and having people support us along the way. I think this young prophet was kind of on his own, right? But having people to support you, so your Sunday school teachers, your elders and pastors and all those different things, what a responsibility we have, to do that. But what a blessing. It's so great. Okay? Thanks again, Chuck. You stepped up. So anyway, all right, let's finish this up here. All right, so let's look at our last verse. All right, so we see the results. The young prophet dies. Jeroboam will eventually die. And then we understand that God's will not be denied. All right, let's go to this last passage here. After this event, Jeroboam did not turn from his evil ways and made the priests of the high places again, from among all the people. Again, there was no like distinction of what was going on. And anyone would, as he consecrated to be priests of the high places. False priests. Okay, let's make sure we understand that. False priests, idol worshipers, all those different things. And this matter became sin to the house of Jeroboam so as to cut it off and to destroy it from the face of the earth. The kingdom of Israel is gone, right? It's destroyed. And we understand that because of Jeroboam's really unwise decision to build idols and idolatry and substitute this and substitute that, that was not God's way. See, what, as Pastor Mike talked about last week, is that Jeroboam was a leader of expedience, right? Basically, I don't have a temple in my territory, so I'll just make these false altars to do that, right? I don't have priests around me that are properly trained and properly developed, so I'll just get anyone else to do it. That's expedience, and in God's eyes, that is a sin, right? Because we have to do the right thing as God calls us. So my question to all of you is, where are you in all this situation? Are you in a situation where God is asking you to do something and it's hard? Probably. That's happened, right? Or are you in a place where you have to be practice a little bit more discernment about who you're going to follow, right? I mean, I mentioned a lot of times that I'm so disappointed by some of our broader Christian leaders and their downfall, right? Like Hillsong and, all these different leaders. Was it Ravi Zacharias? Anyway, a couple of these guys that were really wonderful teachers that had dark things and really their ministries destroyed. And so when we think about our situation here, my brothers and sisters, where are we? Are we people of integrity, right? Are we people that follow God's word? Even if it's hard, or are we just kind of give in to do what is easiest? And I think that we all know what the answer is to that. All right, amen. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for this story and the complicated and long. I think we learned a lot from it, and that is the beauty of your word, that you speak to us through it. Thank you, Lord, for just our time to be able to come together, to listen to you, to worship you. We're grateful for all the activities of this morning with our Sunday school classes and our different fellowship groups and our discipleship group following this. We lift up all these things to you because we want to know you, Lord. We want to know who you are, and we want to do what you want us to do. So we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.